welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Rihanna's not with us today.
And I'm Jean Marie. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we will be talking about colorectal cancer, or CRC. It's also known as colon or bowel cancer.
When we refer to colorectal cancer, we're talking about cancer in or of the ascending colon, the transverse colon, the descending colon, or the rectum. Cancer in the anus is classified separately from colorectal cancers and is a topic for another episode.
According to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is part of the World Health Organization, approximately 2 million new cases of colorectal cancer were diagnosed in 2020 worldwide, and approximately 1 million cases of colorectal cancer resulted in death.
Wow.
In 2020.
Wow.
So those were from like pre-existing cases and such. The American Cancer Society estimates that here in the United States, the general lifetime risk of developing colorectal cancer is about 4.3% for men and 4.0% for women. And these figures may vary depending on environmental factors, lifestyle choices, family history of colorectal cancer, and whether or not you have other medical conditions associated with an increased chance of developing colorectal cancer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And according to the Mayo Clinic, some of the symptoms of colorectal cancer are unexplained weight loss, blood in your stool or bleeding from the rectum, a persistent change in bowel habits like diarrhea, constipation, weakness, lethargy, the feeling that your bowels are not completely emptied after you've had a bowel movement, ongoing abdominal pain or discomfort, gas, and cramps, or no symptoms at all, which is one of the reasons why your healthcare provider does colorectal screenings. And speaking of colorectal screenings, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, I didn't know there was a U.S.
There are so many organizations.
Yep. U.S. Preventative Services Task Force. Mm-hmm. They recommend that adults between the ages of 45 and 75 get screened for colorectal cancer. Those under 45 or over 75 should talk with their healthcare provider to see if they need to be screened for colorectal cancer.
And there are four main tests that are part of a colorectal cancer screening. And you may have, you know, one or all. And they are stool tests, a flexible sigmoidoscopy, colonoscopy, or a CT colonograph, which is also known as a virtual colonoscopy.
Okay. And as you may have guessed, stool tests involve taking a small stool sample and sending it to a lab where they may look for blood or altered cell DNA. To get the most accurate results possible, talk with your healthcare provider. They may recommend that you avoid,
non-steroidal anti-inflammatory.
Oh, okay. Like?
Drugs.
Okay.
Like, ibuprofen.
Okay. And limit your vitamin C intake for a week before taking the sample. You may also have to avoid red meat for 3 to 4 days before taking the sample.
Okay. And by stool sample, we mean poop, not poop. A sample of a stool.
Yes.
Okay. And you may be asked to collect a stool sample at home or at the doctor's office. And again, for the most accurate results possible, there are some things you can do. For example, read through all of the instructions beforehand. Ask your healthcare provider any questions you may have regarding the test. If possible, empty or void your bladder before setting up your toilet to obtain a sample.
So pee before you poop.
Yes. Yes, pee before you poop. Okay. Because the pee can interfere with the test.
All right.
And okay. Yep.
Now, depending on which kit you have for this at-home test, you will place the enclosed paper across your toilet seat. You'll use a piece of your own plastic wrap. Plastic wrap? Really?
Yes. Yeah.
And place it across your toilet seat. And
or
use the container provided to catch the stool sample or your bowel movement.
Okay. And this is going to be a bit odd, but based on my experience, you will want to clean your toilet the day before. Okay.
Okay.
Then cut the plastic wrap in the kitchen and leave the rest of the plastic wrap in the kitchen. Just take the pieces with you that you need.
Good idea.
And then while wearing disposable gloves, lift the toilet seat and secure the plastic wrap across the back two-thirds of the toilet.
Okay.
And it should be secure but not really tight across the bowl. Okay? So you can catch the poop without touching the water, without the plastic wrap hitting the water.
Okay.
But also without the poop, like, getting stuck, sticking to you, okay, without you having to sit and poop while you're pooping.
Okay.
So you want to have a little leave.
A little bit of a gap.
Right. Well, give. A little bit of give. No gap.
Okay.
Give. And, but secure.
Okay.
And then put the toilet seat back down,
mm-hmm,
and poop.
Okay.
And for the most accurate results possible, you want to avoid getting urine in the sample. And that's why I prefer leaving the front one-third of the toilet bowl open just in case.
Men don't have that problem.
They might pee while they're sitting down.
Yeah, but they don't pee that close to where they poop.
Okay, but they might want to have that one-third open so they,
yes,
can pee.
Yes, they could. Okay.
Okay.
You know, not many podcasts talk about...
We'll give you this detailed, vital information.
Wow. I hope you're not listening to this during breakfast. Okay. Mm-hmm. Once you have pooped onto the plastic or paper or into the container, you'll need to take that.
No, you don't...
Wait a minute. You will need to take the stick or brush that comes with the kit.
It's a little brush.
Okay.
Okay.
And gather a little bit of the stool or sample.
Mm-hmm.
And typically you place that sample into a tube or you smear it across a card and enclose it in the kit. I like the tube better than the card, but I guess either way.
Yeah. And it's the only time anyone should be smearing poop anywhere.
Yes.
Okay. Another test that your healthcare provider or gastroenterologist may use to help detect colorectal cancer is a flexible sigmoidoscopy. This test allows your doctor to see the lower third of your colon and rectum. They use a short, thin, flexible tube to look for polyps and potentially cancerous tumors.
Colonoscopy is similar, mm-hmm, but it uses a longer tube, which allows your doctor to see your entire colon,
mm-hmm,
and also remove any polyps and take samples of tissue for further examination.
Okay. And in general, individuals over the age of 45 with no known colorectal cancer risk factors will need a colonoscopy about every 10 years.
Okay. A computed tomography.
Mm-hmm.
A computed tomography. I don't, mm-hmm, know what that word. Okay.
A CT.
That's
why we all say CT.
Oh, that's why we say CT.
Yes.
Okay. A CT colonoscopy is another way for your healthcare provider to look for polyps and growths inside of your colon using x-rays and computer programs. Carbon dioxide gas may be used to inflate the colon and allow for a more precise test result.
So it's a little bit more hands-off, but at the same time, they can't take samples. So, you know, there's give and take.
All right. According to an article published on May 25th, very recently, mm-hmm, 2022, in the Journal of Gastroenterology, using a computer AI program increased the detection of cancerous and precancerous polyps by 27%. As we've talked about in the past, computers look at things differently. We look at things and see the whole picture, and computers take in information a bit at a time. So when computers help the healthcare providers identify issues sooner, they can increase the chance of early intervention and increase the overall survival rate.
That sounds like a great thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're used to identify a number of cancers, lung cancer, and yeah. Well, there are some risk factors, as we've said, with colorectal cancer. Age is a big one. The older you get, the more likely you are to develop colorectal cancer. And if you've had colorectal polyps or colorectal cancer in the past, you are also at an increased risk. If you have a family history of colorectal polyps or cancer, you're at slightly higher risk. If you have an inflammatory bowel disease, such as Crohn's, you are at an increased risk. And obesity, so not necessarily higher BIM, but actually just having more adipose tissue. So if you have more fat, you're at an increased risk of colorectal cancer.
Okay. On the flip side of that, mm-hmm. there are some things that you can do which could reduce your risk of getting colorectal cancer.
Okay.
Exercise regularly, mm-hmm. avoid tobacco, limit your intake of alcohol, eat a diet high in fiber and low in fat, eat fruits and vegetables, and go to your healthcare provider for colorectal cancer screenings.
That's, yeah, great advice for a number of
health issues.
Yeah, health issues, yeah. In recent years, unfortunately, there has been an increase in young onset colorectal cancer, and so that's those under 45 years of age, with no known family history or risk factors. The majority of these individuals were symptomatic, so they had the symptoms we talked about earlier, you know, the blood in the stool, blood bleeding from the rectum, discomfort, pain, changes in bowel habits. Mm-hmm. And that's what led them to seek medical care and testing. So even younger individuals need to talk with their healthcare providers about any symptoms they're having,
right,
and may require testing.
Okay.
And the sooner you find out, the sooner the better it is.
Right. Catch it early. Mm-hmm. If you would like to learn more about colorectal cancer and screening, please talk with your healthcare provider. We'll also have links on our website for further information.
Okay.
And if you have any questions or comments related to today's show, people can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We have a website, podcastdx.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok.
Maybe even the moon.
No,
we could be on the moon.
I didn't send us to the moon.
Okay. Well, okay. I was going to talk about something else, but yeah. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast, and we might even read it out loud and here on a new episode.
Yeah.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.